The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Monday, 9th day of July, 2012. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow down 83 points, S&P down 8, comp down 17, gold up about $8. And we're standing by waiting for the president to speak on the Bush tax cuts. Whether this will move the markets or not remains to be seen. His recommendation to Congress is that the tax cuts stay in place for households earning under $250,000 a year, but that they be taken away for those earning more. So we'll see what happens. We'll see exactly what he has to say. We'll get some headlines here in a few minutes. Up on the screen in front of me is the Dow E-mini futures. We had a pretty good sell-off. If we go back, well, let's switch over to the YM chart. As you can see, we had a tweet out last night to consider being short below 12,685. So it gave, on that initial break, it gave a pretty nice trade. Came back, gave another one, came back, and this drawdown here, the way it's scaled, it looks like a lot, but it's not so much. It's, I think, 19 points. on the YM, which is equivalent to just under 2 points on the ES. And then we made a nice break to the downside, attempted to recover, and here in the last few minutes, as we've moved into this press conference, we've pressed lower and then bounced. To put it a little more in perspective, let's go look at the ES on an hourly chart. This was our last public tweet last week to consider selling 1374 on a limit. We had put that out back when price was trading over in this area. It came together very nicely, and so far it's dropped a total of 30 points, put in a nice bounce, and has dropped right back into that same area. Okay, so we're really looking for this area to hold or not hold. If it breaks this area, and if we can take out 1340 on the downside, then I'm looking for potentially the market to drop maybe to 33. I believe that's what was in the tweet last night, is that if we get below 40, to watch for 33. And the president is now beginning to speak. So I don't, again, he's talking about his stance on the tax cuts, what he would like Congress to do. So I think this may be more of a campaign spiel than a market moving spiel, unless he says something we haven't heard yet. So we'll be patient and wait and see. Okay, good afternoon, Michael. Are you there?
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Yes, I am here.
Okay. All right. That's pretty much it for me. If you want to grab the charts and go ahead and run through the recap.
Sure, I would be happy to. Let me just do that. There we go. All right, so you guys should be looking at my charts right now. All right.
We got them.
Excellent. All right. Let me start the recording off here. All right, here we go, guys. Today is July 9th, 2012. Let me first just go over the results of the morning. We are down one YM trade. We are down one ES trade. We're up on the NQ. We're up 5 ticks on the NQ, 7 ticks on the crude. We're down 8 ticks on the ES and the YM. Okay, so we're up crude and NQ, and we're down ES and YM. Now I'll go over the actual trades. Okay. For anybody who has not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. And you can sign up there for a free trial. In the free trial, you get everything you see here, all the charts, all the indicators, all the data feeds, and a lot more, actually. You get 5 days in the live trading room with us. We walk you through the setups. We tell you how they're supposed to come together and tell you when they do come together. For instance, right here, we have a long trade coming together on the crude oil. Should be right there with the bullish divergence right here. Okay, so the entry on that would have been here at 85.47, 85.48 right there. All right, let me just go through the setups. All right, I'll start out with crude. We had a few crude trades this morning. Let's back it off a little bit. There we go, 9:30. I started marking things up in the crude. The crude really starts to move around 9 o'clock, all right? So what we look for in the crude trades, you look for the MA1, which is this blue and red line right here, to cross down below the BBC, which is the green line. Once it does that, you anticipate that price is going to come back up and test that BBC. If it does that, and you have some bearish divergence down here on the bottom happening at the same time, divergence between the green line and the red line, if you have all that going on, then you can anticipate that the green line is going to work its way back down into the cycle, okay? You see that happened here, and the same thing happened right here. You can anticipate that this green line is going to work its way back down into the cycle portion of the slingshot, which is right down there, okay? So there was a trade there, there was a trade there. Everything turned around here, and this moved up. Depending on what your stop was and where your entry was, you probably stopped out on this one. There was another one right there that I didn't mark, but there was one there, another one over here, and another one here. Now, this is where the markets opened up, and this was the first trade that I took. I took a break even on my first trade. All right. I missed the next couple of trades right here. We had bullish. Actually, this one's not a trade at all. Let me get rid of that. The kind of trade that would have been right there would have been a momentum trade. It's something that I went over in the partners meeting last week for the partners. If you were in the partners meeting, you get it. If not, well, you don't get it. But right here, there was another opportunity right here. Get long right there for, I don't know, about 8 ticks, it looks like. Things turned around, but there were no opportunities in here. Might have been one short right here that only went 4 or 5 ticks. They turned around again, and there wasn't another opportunity to get long until right over here. All right, I didn't take another trade until here. I went short right in here, took some profit there. I went long right in here and took some profit there. I went short over here and took a break even there. Went short here and took some profit there. I went long there and took some profit there. Those were the trades that I took this morning on the crude oil. Now, I've explained how they all set up and what to look for with them, and that is what I did. Now, on the NQ, I'm going to go to the NQ next because it's the exact same trade setup, exact same thing you're looking for. I just have fewer trades over here. All right, you see how the MA1 crossed below the BBC, price pulled back up, tested the BBC, and gave a down close. I shorted right there. I took some profit right there. Okay, that kept going down and down and down. It did have an opportunity. No, I didn't like this when it was coming together because the cycle was going against us. Nothing in there, nothing in there. It was an opportunity to short this morning that I pointed out. Other ones in here, but the market went really sideways and weak in here. Once the ES had hit the weekly trading zone, all the other markets just went flat. Right here was a nice opportunity to get long once the ES started moving again. And let's see. On the short side, you want the MA1 to get below the BBC and there to be bearish divergence down here. So we had one right there and another one, that was pretty much it. And that was it. That was it on the morning, guys. It was a pretty dry, slow morning. You know, we did get some pretty good opportunity on the crude, not as much opportunity on the NQ. On the YM, I only took one trade on the YM, and I took it from a 1500 contract. I'll go over that one in just a minute. Let me go over the ES trades that I took first. Okay, on the ES this morning, we took this first pullback to the BBC right here. We went long on the pullback, and it stopped us out. It didn't give us any chance for profit at all. We went short on the next pullback to the BBC right here. So we lost 2 points on this. We got 2 points back on this one. All right, and we went long over here on this pullback to the BBC. And that gave us a point at one period. It gave us a point. I am, Bruce, sort of. that gave us a point. Right? And then we just stayed in the trade. We didn't move our stop. Normally when it goes to plus a point, I'll move my stop to break even. I should have done it on this one, but we were still in the trade here as we went into the break, and then it just stopped us out during the break. Okay. So that ended up being minus 2 points. That was my minus 2 points on the ES. We had 3 trades, minus 2 points. Now, on the YM, we had 1 trade that we lost, and this is the way I thought it was going to play out. Once we had this bar up here, let me move these arrows around so that they're not troubling anyone. Once we had this bar here and it was going up through the BBC, we had bearish divergence and price wasn't really convincingly going up. So I said, all right, what I want to do is put an order, a sell stop order down below the BBC. It was right there at 12,656. Now I wish I would have done it at 12,655. But I'm going to put a sell stop in there because if this turns out to be a big red candle when it goes down there and hits me, it's probably going to work its way down to the zone below us, all right? So in that case, it was 656, and I was expecting it to go down here to 640. So it was 16 ticks, I was anticipating getting out of that, and I risked 8 ticks. You can see it did come down here. Now, it was when this bar was building that I put that order on. I put that sell stop on. Actually, it was when this bar was building that I put the sell stop on. And I put it on at 656. You can see the next bar came down and put me in at 656. I had 8 ticks risk on it. It rose up to 665 from 56, which is 9 ticks. So it stopped me out by a tick, and then it went down. And it dropped actually from 656. It dropped all the way down to 622 for a 34 tick gain. That was the one trade that I took this morning on the YM. All right. And those were all the trades of the morning. I know that's not much, but there was opportunity. You know, we're up on crude. We're up on the NQ. We were up on the ES. And most of the morning we were break even on the YM, but that was our morning. If anybody has any questions about anything, you can type them in right now, or you can email them to us at support@cfrn.net. All right, I don't see any questions coming in right now, so I'm just gonna stop the recording here. All right, the recording has been stopped. All right, so let's see, who do we have in screen here?
Okay, Bruce said you sound like a foreign correspondent reporting from overseas. Hello?
Yes.
I said Bruce said you sound like a foreign correspondent reporting from overseas.
Well, I am. You know, I have to dial in right now. Oh, actually, for a while. I wish it was some way I could fix that, but unfortunately, I can't.
Can't plug in a headset?
Oh, I can plug one in, but the audio on the headset is... I actually have one plugged in, but the audio on the headset is much worse than this.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with this. It just sounds different.
Yeah, I know everybody gets used to me having a really sensitive headset on. And now this one is a little bit different because I do have to actually dial in right now. You know, from here. And there's not much I can do about it. I wish there was. I actually had the Comcast people come out here. You know, the last couple of years running, I had them come out here, and we have our very own trunk dedicated to this house. So, you know, we can't get any better than that from them anyway. But, you know, do you remember last year when I was down here and I had just my headset on? How awful it sounds.
Vaguely, yeah.
Oh, I can do it again right now, and you can experience it if you want.
No, you sound fine. No, I can hear you fine.
Okay. All right, you'd only hear about every third word.
You sound like, what's that guy's name, Robert R. Murrow, the old newscaster? I think that's his name, Robert Murrow, yeah. Kind of got that sound in his voice. All right, well, we're done with the recap, and I see that both David and... Robin are standing by, so let's go ahead and go on out to Vegas.
All right.
For those of you who have not taken the free trial, cfrn.net/apply. That's all it takes. Get signed up. Spend 5 days in the live trading room. You also get to download the platform, the indicators. You get live data for a full week. If you have any questions whatsoever, just call toll-free, 866-928-3310, 866-928-3310. Again, the address, cfrn.net/apply. That's all it takes. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com, as well as Miss Robin Dane.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And good morning, Michael. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, David.
Nice to have you on my program. Just joking.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I just want to say that that was a long time to be away from markets. It really was. The first few days were fun, and I had a lot of loose ends, you know, to catch up with in my life, things that, you know, we always talk about cleaning up your life and taking the time to really catch up wherever you can, treat your life like you're its manager, not its owner, and just manage things correctly. And then about maybe the fifth day into this, because we stopped on Friday, after about the fifth day, I noticed I'm starting to get a little antsy about, you know, wanting to be in front of a market and wanting to trade and do something. So it was a little longer than I needed, but I did get a lot done in my personal life, and I hope other people did as well. Obviously, there's a lot of vacationing you can do from Friday of last week all the way through to today. So a little too much for me, but I did enjoy it, and I did get a lot done. So it's really a pleasure to be back and to be looking at markets. I mean, by the time I walked into my office, I was trying to figure out, now, what do I do here? How do you do this? There's a computer. Okay. Where's the lights here? Do we have some lights? Can I get some lights in here?
Yeah.
You know, just trying to operate the basics of the office.
You were going through trading withdrawal.
I think I was. I think I was going through some kind of trading withdrawal. I'm not going to make a good retiree just yet in my life. I need to spend a little more time trading and looking for the easy and obvious opportunities in the markets, and like all of us, try to take reasonable advantage of them. You can make a great, great, great career out of never having a home run. So just remember that. You don't have to have home runs in order to do well in the markets, and the vast majority of all our trades are not home runs. They're just ordinary trades. That's all. And you can do very well just with that, without having to worry about getting the home run. Sometimes the home run is just handed to you. And that, in most cases, that's what happens. I think as a general rule, if I had to go back and look at every time somebody felt very powerfully and verbalized that to me, as an example, or that I was privy to a conversation where somebody was verbalizing a very powerful indication that they were really going to load up on, I would have to say that most of those don't work out the way that they feel at the time. They're looking for the home run. They want to be in the really big, big move. But in most cases, I think most of us do better just trading ordinary moves, not necessarily having to make the big home run trade over and over again to become a successful trader in this. So just mentioning that because while I was off, I had a chance to review our trades, and we took during the time off, we had some puts. We had sold options weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and we were starting to take some of those off as the S&P was rallying, et cetera. And, you know, the majority of these trades are reasonable trades. They're reasonable when they're profitable, they're reasonable, and when they're losses, they're reasonable. The whole shooting match is just reasonable. And you can do very well in life just being reasonable. And while you're being reasonable, life just may come along and hand you the surprise and the big move, and you may just do very well on that, and you can just say, hey, isn't that nice, you know, that I did really well. And you can even design your trading strategy around holding some of your position for the possibility of that really nice move that just might come out of nowhere and, you know, keep you in a trade for one of these bigger swings. And, of course, everyone has had that from time to time, and it's a very, you know, it produces a lot of endorphins, and you remember it. But the reality is that you might find that you can just do very well trading the ordinary trades that come along and waiting, you know, maybe holding for the extra move if they give it to you. And when they don't, then you lose a little bit of that gain that you had, or some portion of the gain in your final position. So that's something you can decide to do. But anyway, for me, it was a great time off. I did spend quite a bit of time trying to catch up on loose ends because everyone has other areas of their life outside of trading. And even if you only think you're a trader, you do, obviously, you have other things you have to take care of and manage. And you should manage those things. You should stay up on everything. And I've said this before, that how you treat your whole life, the whole business of your existence, if we were to say that you were a business, you know, Ted Smith Business, you know, or Ted Smith Inc., or Dwayne Reeves Inc., David Williams Inc., whatever your name, put your name in there, there's things that need to be taken care of in that business, and you can't let those things slide. And I've noticed that when people do let things slide in other areas of their life, that somehow or other it does work their way into their approach to trading. In other words, it makes their trading in general, one way or the other, less effective. So it does help. It is profitable to stay caught up on issues in your own life, especially things that you have been putting off and don't want to do because, well, they may scare you to do them. They, you know, if you have to call an agency up, I don't know, like the IRS or some other agency that you might not want to talk to, you'll be much better off just getting through it and getting it over with, and you will find that the front end of your life, the space in front of you, widens out dramatically. So that you feel that you can do more with that and you can really put your energies to work rather than having all of these little things draining your energy, little worries that you have about things to do. I really like the thing, we've talked about this before on the radio, about, you know, brighten the corner where you are. You know, you're going to make a better world out of this place, brightening the corner where you are, taking care of what you've been given to take care of, things that you that have appeared in your life that need to be taken care of. You're going to brighten the world up by brightening your corner in the world. And, you know, I've talked about that song before. It was first pointed out to me by Vernon Howard many, many years ago. He's an author. And the story briefly behind the song was that a woman had a minister husband who wanted to go all over the world and teach people about religion and, you know, living a better life and et cetera. And he fell very, very ill, and she really was looking forward to spending, you know, her life and time with him all over the world, talking to various people, etc. And she began having to take care of him right there at home. They never really got a chance to take the big trip and go around the world. And as she was doing that, she realized that what she was doing there, brightening the corner where she lived, was such a profound thing. She took such good care of him and the life that they led and all that stuff right there, that she wrote, this is a very old song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. It's an old song. So when you get a chance, Dwayne once posted the lyrics for this on the site, but it's probably worth reading from time to time. This is a long time ago the song was written, but it's a very powerful spiritual principle, very, very powerful spiritual principle that is recognized by this song. And you may recognize it when you were talking about it, but you may recognize it as well when you just, you know, read the lyrics to it. So aside from that, I did enjoy the time off as well. We had a lot of people here in Las Vegas. Many of you may know that Robin also lives in Las Vegas here as well. And good morning to you, Robin, and I hope you had a nice vacation as well.
And a good morning to you and to Duane. Yes, I worked, and I passed my ham radio test.
Okay. Hey, congratulations.
I am now an official ham.
So you come on here every day and just sort of ham it up?
Ham it up. Thank you. And I have to tell you, you know, if you haven't taken a test within, you know, 25 years of your life, let me tell you, taking a test is not an easy thing, and just studying for something you have no idea, no clue on, and amps and watts and voltage uh-huh. and capacitors and antennas. And it was uh-huh. just, I was so nervous going in, and I had failed the first time. I think I told you I failed the first time. And when I came back to the desk, the guy said, "Oh, you're back again." And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Are you going to pass this time?" And I said, "Yeah, I hope so." And so he says, "Okay." So I went and took my test. I reread it a second time when I did my answers just to be sure. I have been studying. And you have to wait outside once you complete it. And I'm waiting outside. I was like the fourth person that completed it. And the guy comes out with the clipboard, and he usually tells you yes or no. And he comes walking up the walkway, and he's shaking his head no. And I'm going, "Oh, no, please don't tell me." My stomach was sick. And he comes up, and he says, "I have some news." And I said, "Oh, please don't tell me." He says, "You passed." And he says, "I had to pull your leg. You knew I was so serious." I said, "How many did I miss?" He says, "You missed one." I said, "Yes." So out of nine
really
that
good.
I could have missed, I missed one.
That's really
so
good.
So I'm pretty proud of myself because, you know, studying is not, I tell you, it's not an easy thing on a subject you know nothing about.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to do with your ham radio license?
Well, it's part of, you know, my Red Rock Search and Rescue. We're going to be getting ham radios for the desert because when you go into certain areas, you can't get reception on cell phones or you can't get reception okay. with, you know, like a little radio that you would get out of a Walmart.
Yeah. I always thought that those radios, the purpose was as if you were out, you know, far away in the desert and you couldn't find your way back or something. It's a ham radio. You can eat it because you know, you're far away from food and water.
Yeah, no, that's not the ham.
Okay.
No, that's not it. No,
okay.
But I did learn something very interesting. This, you know, it's amazing what you can learn when you attack something new like that. I never knew that cotton, you know, wearing cotton was a very dangerous thing for hikers or people who were backpacking or anywhere.
Tell us why.
No, because the ice crystals, if you sweat, the ice crystals will form in the cotton, and it'll actually cause hypothermia and drop your body temperature about 20 degrees or 20% faster than if
What should people wear if they're hiking?
There's synthetic clothes now that hikers can get through, you know, REI or any kind of a hiking store.
Because almost everything's made out of cotton now.
No. All the hiking, there. It's a really, even the Boy Scouts, from what I understand now, have gotten into, you know, anybody that's into survival or is looking into any of these athletic sports, they clearly the clothes have changed and they're not cotton. So I was very surprised, and I had, you know, it's funny, I had a woman call me on my tennis league this weekend saying that her son went missing in Utah, and I was like, you know, I don't know what she expects me to do, but I said, well, you know, where did he go? And so it turns out that he went onto this mountain, and he didn't have a cell phone, and you couldn't reach him. And she was very upset. And I said, you know, I checked the mountain out. It looks like there's a lot of water sources on the mountain. That's the main thing, is water. You know, if they go up and they don't expect to, and they get hurt, and they get stuck, they're going to need water. And evidently, this mountain was, you know, had a lot of fresh running streams, and it was a pretty well hiked mountain. And the good news is it turned out that he was fine, but she read him the riot act when he got down. And I said, you know, at least let him, you know, tell you when he's going, where he's going, and when he's expected back. And if he's not back by that time, then, you know, or a certain reasonable length of time, then it's okay. So, you know, you should always do that if you're going to go hiking, because you just don't know. Even experienced hikers get in trouble.
Yes.
And so that's hamming it up, and I'm excited, and I also wanted to remind people that, you know, if you go up onto my website, which is robindane.com, Robin with an I, like the bird, but Dane, D-A-Y-N-E.com, so robindane.com, there's a free emotional trading test that you can take. There's a big red button in the top right-hand corner that you can take so you can see or evaluate where you are on your trading emotions. Now, what's kind of neat about this is, let's say you don't do anything with me, but you're working on yourself and you're doing, you know, so some introspective work where you're working on your emotions and controlling them and your disciplines. You know, go back in another month and take the test again and see how many came, how many items came off your list to know that you're progressing. What you don't want is that your numbers increase, because the amount of numbers that you answer will have an effect on where you are in the scale, and you want less. You want to answer less. And so that's something that you can do. And also, there's quite a bit of free information. I had a radio show for 4 years where I interviewed some of the top traders around the country. Now, normally, you know, if you're talking about strategies or, you know, what David's talking about or Michael's talking about or Dwayne's talking about, you know, that is not consistent or will change over time because the markets change. But the psychology stays the same. So all those radio shows that are on there, though they're older, still have a lot of great psychological information for traders that are from some of the top guys in the business. And then there's a couple free presentations down in the middle of the homepage where it says free stuff. So I keep forgetting to tell people that that's on there. We have a couple things coming up this month. On the 17th, I have a presentation that I'm doing that's on the website as well. And then we're going to be doing one through Daniel Trading, which is how to survive a trading blow-up. And that's on the 23rd at 1:30, so that's 4:30 Eastern time. And then I'm doing the Tasty Trade radio show on the 24th. So we've got quite a few things going on, and we're going to add another webinar in there on the week of the 30th. And these are all free. So make sure you sign up and make sure you check out the website and take your traders emotional trading test and see at least where you are. And that's my stuff for the day. And I have my new thing I'm going to give you today is Life is a Gift. And I'm going to read you a couple things. We have 45 things on Life is a Gift. And so the first three are Life isn't fair, but it's still good. When in doubt, just take the next small step. And life is too short to waste time hating anyone. Those are the first three. And I'm going to give you, I'm rushing to give you my information today because I do have to leave at in about 20 minutes. My quote for the day is, expect the best, convert problems into opportunities, be dissatisfied with the status quo, focus on where you want to go instead of where you're coming from, and most importantly, decide to be happy, knowing it's an attitude, a habit gained from daily practice, and not a result or payoff. Dennis Waitley.
And there you are.
Very good.
I like that.
I like that, yeah.
I do.
And take Obama's tax thing with a grain of salt.
Well, he could have probably come out with this a little sooner, since he is saying how wonderful this will be for small businesses, but he waited until, election time to do this wonderful thing for business people. One of the reasons why businesses are having the uncertainty that they have is partially because they have no idea until today, for the last 3 years, whether or not the Bush tax cuts were going to stay in place or go away. And that's a very big thing, because if they take it away, it means that businesses have another burden on top of them. And businesses, of course, are the things, the people, these are the people that hire people. It isn't an argument whether you believe in the top-down theory or the bottom-up theory. You need both in order to have a real economy. You can't just give it all to the rich, and you can't just, have the poor or the middle class get all the benefits. It has to be everybody. The whole thing has to work, as it doesn't have to be either or. But, at least for the last year, businesses have been, I know several business owners, and some of them are moderate size, where they employ several hundred people. And these people are very concerned about taxes, because it really does impact their business and their decisions. So it wasn't up until just now, today, that those business people now know what likely is going to be the game plan for the Bush-era tax cuts, and whether they normally would have gone away. For those of you that don't know, they would have gone away, and everyone's taxes would have gone up. And now Obama sounds like everybody sounded 2 years ago, when they were saying, well, why would you want to raise taxes on anybody right now? And he's making that argument. So it's a little, I take it a little disingenuously that here we are in the election year, 5 months from the election, and he's now sounding like everybody sounded a year ago and 2 years ago, saying, well, why would you want to, when everyone's hurting, raise taxes? Why don't you just, tell everybody now that they can have some certainty that the Bush tax cuts are going to stay in place? But he didn't want to do that. He's only forced to do that now, I believe, because he's trying to appeal to the widest number of people. He'll do anything, as most people will, to keep his job. This isn't really how he feels, though. I would have felt a little better if he would have said people that make over $1 million, those people are the ones that get their taxes raised, something like that. But the $250 anymore, it doesn't matter. Don't compare this to your own income. But $250 is not wealthy anymore. There's many families that make $250,000 together per year. And there's thousands, millions of small businesses that take in more than $250,000 a year net. And so, I don't know. I just think the number should be higher. If you want to have the rich pay their fair share, which is such a great line, their fair share. They pay most of the taxes in the world, let alone their fair share. But the fact is that if that's what you want to do, I think you should start it from $1 million up rather than $250, because $250 represents a huge amount of the quote-unquote middle class that run small businesses. So we'll see. We'll see how it comes out, because ultimately it has to be passed. I believe it has to be passed by Congress. So I don't know all the details.
Yeah,
but,
I'm pretty sure you're right. It has to go to Congress.
Yeah. So we'll see how it all pans out. But isn't it funny? Doesn't it sound a little funny to hear him saying that now to you? Just making all the arguments that we've all made. Well, gosh, these people are very uncertain. We've got to give these small businesses the certainty that they deserve. That's what he said. Well, yeah. For the last 3 years, if you would have mentioned that, that would have been a nice little thing. They could, people plan ahead and they want to know what their taxes are going to be, et cetera. Anyway. So there you are. There's our president at work. Smiling, happy to tell us that we're going to, that we don't have to worry now, 5 months prior to the election. Thanks for that update.
Well, at least, he's campaigning. He's running for office, so he's going to use whatever he can. And
of course. And
if he can twist the arm of the Fed to launch QE3 at this next Fed meeting, then I think he'll probably use that as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then while over the weekend I wasn't watching news, and I just want to say that I was, not that this is a big deal to me, but I was genuinely surprised to hear that Katie Holmes filed for divorce against Tom Cruise.
That's true.
That's, by the way, the Inquirer predicted that like 4 weeks ago. Just saying. That's why they get those awards. They had an article. They said the marriage is going to fall apart, or it's going to be busted apart by this argument or whatever they had. They had some article on it. And here we are 4 weeks later, and she's filing for divorce. So, I know, it's a silly magazine, The Inquirer, but they're pretty good at what they do.
He's like number two or number three in the hierarchy in that organization that he belongs to, Scientology.
Yep. Yeah, I think he's, I don't know, the Grand Poobah or something.
Yeah, he's risen in the ranks.
Yep.
I'm sure the fact that he had, you know, fame and fortune didn't hurt.
Had nothing to do with it.
Didn't hurt his ascension at all. But, yeah. Other guy that's big in that who's not looking so good right now is John Travolta.
Yeah, Travolta's in the same poop.
Yeah, his life's really taking a turn here.
And what's happening with him? Is this over the the scandal about him being gay, or what
is
this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, a couple years ago there was the issue with his son, and then this most recent thing that broke out, and I guess his wife's leaving him over it. Yeah, not good.
Way back in the, I'm going to say in the, oh my gosh, it had to be the early 80s, and I was working for 9X. I was working for the phone company in a computer division. And one of my friends says, oh, come down to this thing in Boston. It's really, really good. There's a bunch of great group of people. Well, it turned out to be the Ron L. Hubbard stuff in the old days, which was called EST. EST. And a lot of people, about 3,000 people there, and I stood in the back of the room, and they started talking about stuff, and I'm pretty open-minded, but there was some stuff that was being said that just wasn't me, and I went to leave. For standing in the back, I said, no, this is kind of not for me. I started to leave, and they wouldn't let me leave. And I said, no, I think you need to let me leave. And he says, no, you need to stay. And this, because at the time they used to be really, really aggressive about having you be in the room. And I just said, I think you need to let me leave or I'm going to make a scene. And I can go quietly or I can go messy. One of the two, your choice. I think you better let me leave. And after like four people surrounded me, they finally decided to let me leave. And that was the last time I got anywhere near that stuff. So.
Now, what was that over?
It was over EST. It used to be called EST.
Oh, right.
EST.
Okay.
Long, long time ago. And then they changed the name because it got a really bad reputation. And they changed the name and then it became Scientology. And
Oh, that's the same thing?
Same thing. Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
you're sure of that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I can go back and check, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I know it was Ron L. Hubbard's stuff.
Yeah.
Dianetics. Remember that
mm-hmm.
he wrote the book Dianetics?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, EST was originally a Werner Erhard thing.
Oh, there you go. Werner R. Erhard. That's what it was, sorry.
And the guy, Ron L. Hubbard, that wrote Dianetics, he ended up living on a ship in the latter days of his life. He couldn't come back to the U.S. for, I think it was for tax evasion or something, was the reason behind that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so he just kind of floated around, a man without a country.
Well, there you are. At least he has a religion.
You know, the thing is that belief is so powerful. You know, belief in general is just a powerful thing, and you know, the key thing is to believe in yourself. That's my big thing, believe in yourself, because you have all sorts of gifts that you may or may not realize.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you are. Well, let's take a look. Let's talk about Marcus for a minute here. If you'd like, Dwayne, we'll get on it.
Sure.
Well, let's see. When we left, the S&P was... you know, we had a few days of quiet kind of up, sort of slow, quiet up movement after we got into the week of the holiday. Nothing really spectacular happened for those of you who did trade it or did watch it. We had a few good days of sideways to up. We broke to a new high, got to 1375, which is a relatively important level, which they reacted off of, and today we continue to stay inside that and below, you know, going down from that top. I think that was on July 3rd, the top that occurred. Let me just double check that. Actually happened on July 5th, if you include Globex. So, and what did we get up to? Yeah, up to 75. So they sold off from there. During the week, I had not watched the markets throughout the week, but I just want to jump over to Facebook because I've been watching Facebook for some since it opened because it has some important things that it did since the open that I think validate its movement. And one a way that we were going to validate the movement was, well, we had two things. One, which is that the market was forecast to have to touch $33 on the 22nd of June. A few days prior to this, we had messaged that on the radio here. They did get to the $33. And then we talked about the market. If it was in its normal spatial relationship setup, that it should decline $3 off of whatever the high was. The high was made at $33.45 on June 22nd, and $3 from that would bring you down to $30.45. And the low they made on July 2nd was $30.55. So just one dime off of that low. Well, that tells us that Facebook is doing what it normally should do according to spatial relationship forecasting. This is how we put out roadmaps and things like that. So that $3 decline is important. They turned on that. They came within a dime of it. They turned on that and have had a decent move up from here. So this is interesting to watch this market, partly, in most part, really, because it's just a brand new market. It started on May 18th. And so from, you know, May 18th till today, we've had 34 days of trading, actual trading days, you know, not including holidays and weekends, 34 actual trading days. So in that short period of time, this market has done three separate things which have confirmed to me that we have some of its things correct about the nature of this market. The market does have a nature. It does have its own nature. And, you know, we at some point we're going to have discussions with the guy that wrote the book, Random Walk Down Wall Street, but he may, you know, he may just be too busy to do that, or maybe he's listened to the radio program and doesn't find it to his liking, or who knows what the reason
is. No, my last message back from him was we're definitely going to do it in July. We're definitely going to try to do it in July. That was his last.
Anyway, my
message to him was, I said, you know, he could have just, the first time I asked him if he wanted to do the interview, he could have just said, no, I'm not interested, or I'm too busy, or, you know. But he said, okay. And so I reminded him in the last email, I says, you know, you kind of been promising to do this now since January, February. He goes, I know. And he answered back, I know, and I will, and let's shoot for July. So here we are. It's July.
Okay, well, good. Maybe we'll get a chance. Anyway, my point in bringing that up, though, is that here's a stock that's only been trading for 36 days or whatever it's been, and it is exhibiting proof that it exists, A, and B, that it exists within an already larger set of principles, that it's new to itself. It's an expression in the form of price movement, but in order to be here, it has to fall inside already existing principles and things that are in motion, other things that are already in motion, a world of cycles and events and things. And so it's showing by the two different forecasts or three different calls that this stock is definitely, even though it's brand new, already moving correctly in accordance to the principles as we understand them for, which is, you know, our understanding of things is very limited, but it you know, we're leveraging what we understand to its best use. And the fact that the market did pull back the $3 and did reverse off that and many other things that we've seen shows that this is going to be an interesting stock potentially to trade in. Many of you may not trade in stocks, and I understand that it's not as leveraged. And leverage is a good thing. Leverage is a very powerful tool with the forecasts, not the forecast, but with the futures. And, you know, you get used to having that leverage. In stocks, you have to pay more money to be involved. But I have found over the years that to be in stocks has been very, it's a very powerful backdrop to your futures trading, or your futures trading can be a backdrop to your stock trading, or they can switch back and forth. But there's a lot of really good setups out there for you to view and to trade. And you can do a lot of interesting analysis and reading off of how individual stocks within a group act in accordance to the larger index, like the S&P 500. A lot of people like to look at different markets. Well, here's a way to look at one market and then break it down into individual components. Let's say you're looking at the Dow 30 or the S&P 500. Well, you can take a group of stocks inside that S&P 500 in the same industry and see how they all act as the S&P 500 itself is moving down. And you can later, when the S&P 500 bottoms itself, puts in a bottom of some kind, reflected wave or otherwise, then you can go in and buy the strongest of the stocks that were the strongest during the decline. So when you get in there, you're buying the strong ones, and the market overall has been going down, but the strong ones didn't go down nearly as much as the weak ones, and the bottom is in on the large index. That's a very, very good way to follow and break the index down, rather than, as an example, just looking at the index. The index itself can tell you all kinds of things, but to be able to open it up like that and see these other, the components of it operating. And it does take some time, and it is more trouble to do that, but it certainly can make a powerful difference in your confidence and in the quality of the trade that you put on. Certainly, if you're going to be buying a stronger stock after the index has bottomed, you're in a better position than somebody who doesn't use that information and therefore ends up buying something weaker and waits longer, or maybe the stock just doesn't even really turn much, gets a little bounce and then continues lower. So I really like that. So anyway, so with regard to the S&P, let's go back. I know we have talked somewhat about the monthly close of June and what it was, and I don't remember what we said, to be honest, at this time, so I'm going to need to check my notes, and I don't have them with me today. But needless to say, we continue to move lower for the time being off of the July 5th top. We had a nice trade this morning on the long side earlier when we got that little bounce. And we're just waiting. The market's practically at a standstill right now. So not a lot to do right here with the S&P. So we'll see. We'll let it continue to trade while we're talking here. And if you want to, Wayne, we'll move on to a couple other markets that are certainly going to be important in the coming weeks here. We can start with gold.
Okay.
In the gold market, we have an interesting setup here because gold declined while we were gone and tested 1576, which is very close to some levels that are important to us for this particular decline, 1573, 1574. They didn't quite reach those levels. And under normal conditions, as long as we stay above 1573, 1574 on daily closes, we should see this is a tradable bounce that you could buy the market. The first target has already been reached on the upside. Well, almost. It would be 1591, but we would expect a reaction off of that and then a further advance and test or an attempt at 1606. On the upside, 1607 on the upside. So I like the gold market right now, and I like the setup because it gives you a very, very clear place to know that you're wrong. And knowing that you're wrong can allow you to do the right thing. See, the trade being wrong, well, that's too bad, and that can happen. But if you do the wrong thing after you're wrong, you're in a lot of trouble. If you do the right thing after you're wrong, you're in a whole lot less trouble, even if it feels really bad at the time. It always feels bad, or doesn't always, but it can feel bad to be wrong about a trade. But if you do the right thing after being wrong, you'll be right in the end, and you'll make money. If you do the wrong thing after you're wrong, meaning the market's moved against you, broken an important level, and you still hold on, you've compounded that, and sometimes, unknowingly, you've compounded it many times over because the market really intends on going a whole lot further. Some of these levels can be very important. You know, you hear the term key level. They can be very key level-ish because if they break it, it really means the market needs to go substantially lower, and then you're really in trouble. There's no need to put yourself in that trouble. It's really good to think in terms of being right immediately after being wrong. And you do that by doing the right thing right away, which is to manage your loss. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
So let's see. Dwayne, anything you want to mention on gold?
No, not really. I mean, it's been...
I know, you have some in your mouth, but whatever.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. I'm just joking.
No, it's... You know, there's a lot of bearish talk out there that, you know, the big gold run is over, and then there's the other side of the street where, you know, we've only just begun. And as you can, this is a daily chart in front of us, and while certainly those are big swings, I mean, we've got a low back down here at, what do we got, 1532, and then, immediately following that, just a couple days later, we had a swing high of 1642. Uh-huh. So from 1532 to 1642, that happened over the course of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days. So inside of a week, and everything else that has happened since those two extremes is right there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, and I don't even, let me see what this looks like on a weekly chart. Okay, so those extremes were here. For some reason, that doesn't look right now. Yeah, we've had, well, this one kicked out a little bit, but you could argue 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 inside weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 30 trading days.
Yeah, that was a long time. We had forecast utilizing reflected wave the week of May 14th as a bottom, and since then we've been saying that the market really should be unable to get below that. That is a very critical low, a critical time frame for a number of reasons. So we have gone sideways for quite some time here. So we'll see. Right now we do have the shorter term forecast, and I mentioned that earlier for the 1574 level, 1573, to higher prices up to 1606. So this is it's a short term but multi-day trade that I think is tradable, and so I wanted to mention that, and we'll see how that plays out. We can talk about it throughout the week. We finally have a full week here. We'll get a chance to see the market. Now, remember, the first level on the upside is 1591. This was given out earlier today, but on the radio here, we've already reached 1590 as a high, and normally we would expect a reaction from that level. They're testing it, and maybe they've already had a little reaction, but we'll see how it all plays out. I haven't looked at it on the intraday here, but they are pressing higher here, and we do expect this to be a pretty easy trade. So let's follow this along, and we'll talk about it as the week progresses here. Moving on,
Would you be able to do Kong, an update on Kong?
Certainly. I can tell you all about
K-O-N-G.
Give me just a minute here.
So kind of got
this
through that one spot that you talked about. You said it was on this 6th, I believe, and I actually missed it. There was a dip that day, and the next day it just totally came back again.
Yeah. Well, as you may recall on the program here, this is a stock, by the way, that has unusual behavior. Kong is not it's a thinner stock from what I can see.
Yeah.
It has unusual behavior. It has a very unusual habit of opening lower and closing higher.
Yeah.
It does this literally almost every day. Not higher than previous highs, but just higher on the day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unusual. It constantly opens and then moves up constantly. And you can go back and see that. Putting aside the actual declines that occur, the nature of how it trades during the day is unusual. So this is an unusual stock. Having said that, we had forecast that the market had bottomed. I forgot the date, but it might have been the June 25th or whatever.
It was the July 6th. We were supposed to have a little pullback, and we did.
Okay.
After that, it went back up again.
Yeah, and I've been telling you to hold. There was a bottom that we told you about somewhere in here, but I can't remember what date it was. But for you to continue holding, that they should continue to trade and close above those lows. And they might have been at $7.55, and they've stayed above that. And so I don't have any other further forecast except that the market remains bullish, as we talked about, and that the pullback, it was a reflected wave bottom, and they've tested that bottom, but they've always closed above it, which is bullish, and we're expecting to see the likelihood for higher prices. I would be remiss, I think, if I didn't tell you to, I don't know, it doesn't really matter what your position size is, but I think as we are in the area here up at $8.09, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to book a little something if you have multiple positions on. Obviously, it's stock, so you have more than one share.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to lighten up just a little bit, even if they are going to go higher later, and then you can look back and say, well, gosh, I shouldn't have taken those off. But I think in prudent trading, I just like to do that. I like to, when they come to close to critical levels, I book something and then I move on. And I've done, that has served me well. That's a very easy thing to do, and it has served well over time. So you might want to consider that.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Yep, sounds good. And I'm going to have to leave you guys, and thank you for today. I have a bank engagement. But thank you so much, and thanks, Dwayne. Thanks, Michael, and thanks, David. And have a great, great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.
You too.
We'll see you tomorrow.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
The U.S. Treasury bond market, we're still upside here. We're still in a very strong position. The market has done nothing wrong. There was a weekly reflected wave top in this market that had occurred, turned the market down. There was recently a daily top which occurred in this market that they sold off from, and now they have broken out after many days above that high. So this is in a strong position. Now, having said that this is in a strong position, the bond market does have some important numbers that are coming up for July 11th. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until tomorrow, because July 11th is Wednesday. So we're going to watch how the market handles the area that we're in right now. But I will talk about this tomorrow, because this may actually turn into a pretty decent little trade if somebody wants to take it. But I don't want them to take it early. And if I give stuff out early, I usually end up getting phone calls from people. So I'm going to wait. I mean, nothing wrong with calling me, but phone calls where they've gotten themselves in trouble because they didn't wait for confirmation or that sort of thing. So we'll talk about that tomorrow with regard to the U.S. Treasury bond market. Let's see. The other stuff of interest is the crude oil market. I don't have anything as an outright forecast, but the market did advance and did touch $88.98. You may recall that 88 was the major target on the downside that this market was expected to reach in the month of May. So as we were getting, we had originally forecast this on April 4th, more than a month in advance, that they would likely crash in May and go down to $88. Now, having exceeded that on the downside, the crude oil market has recently advanced and touched $88.98. In other words, they spiked 88, and the highest close they had was $87.73 on a daily basis. So they're striking the roadmap target from the underside, and having tested that, they sold off over the last several days, you know, last week while on the vacation week. And so today they're up. They're trying to rebound from that. And I do want to say that on the longer term, although we don't have any outright forecast, it's getting more likely that an important larger bottom is being formed. Having said that, we don't have a forecast or anything like that or a roadmap for it just yet. But I think from a general perspective, the fact that they've gone up, tested the target from the underside, that's a typical thing. But the fact is that it's starting to look to us like there may be an important bottom beginning to form here in the crude oil market. So keep that in mind of whatever that's worth. And certainly when we have something, I'll be very happy to give it out on the program here. Other than that, you may recall that we had the, if we go back a little bit, going back to Tesla, TSLA, the stock. This is the car company that came out with the electric premium sedan that they're now making deliveries of from California. And we had talked about the principle that the market would advance into the 22nd, plus or minus a day, and then have a much better reaction, something that you could short based on the very best principle ever given to man in trading the markets. I won't go into all that right now. But they made a high on the 20th, so they came in just a little bit early on the turn, and then they've had a very sizable, decent decline off of the high they made. They were up at $34.50. They recently made a low of $30.19. Certainly tradable. They're still technically inside that decline, so nothing yet. But I just want to say this stock is going to have, this is a tradable stock. It's forecastable. It moves in accordance to the principles. There was a reflected wave. For those of you who have reflected wave, there was a reflected wave bottom on July 2nd, which was the beginning of the advance that we're now seeing, the multi-day advance that we've seen underway in the stock. It's been quiet, but it was a holiday week, but it is moving higher. So we'll keep an eye on Tesla here. Let's see. We do also, last week also, I believe, the week of July 2nd was also an important turning point for Tesla on the downside. So we want to tie that information in with any new long entry that we might be thinking about taking with the stock or selling puts or whatever that is. So interesting company, interesting stock, and all that stuff. Now, a couple other things I just want to mention about Tesla. Today is July 9th. And just so you know this, the natural level for today in that stock is $30.10. Now, we're nowhere near that level right now, so it is interesting to see how the market handles this. So a daily close today below $31.60, they're trading at $31.33, daily close today below $31.60 will be a weaker position, and it may prompt us to issue a short sale, or at least not even a short sale so much, but just a forecast for a decline and a test of the natural level. We'll talk about that into tomorrow as well. And I think right now, Duane, other than the soybean market, which broke out substantially on the upside here just recently, they had a pullback on the way up here. They had a breakout, and we talked last week about the soybean market, that if they did have a daily close above, this would be an unusual position, but if they had a daily close above the $15.12 level, that it would be an outright buy because they shouldn't be there, and they did. And now they're substantially higher. They're up at $16.69. This has been one big swinging market. I mean, this is swinging much more actively than the S&P, but most people don't look at the soybean market as a real trading vehicle for one reason or another. So we'll see how they handle this, because this is a very powerful move that they have underway here. And I'm going to do some work on that, and hopefully we'll be able to do something with it tomorrow, or at least may have something for you tomorrow. And in the meantime, the S&P's remained very quiet. This looks a little bit like the holiday hasn't ended yet to me. But maybe the market, and we didn't have much reaction off of the news. Of course, the real news is when and if Congress passes the tax, you know, whether they, how they handle the tax issue that
that was really more of a, I think, a campaign speech than it was a news event.
Yeah, I agree. So let me think if there's anything else. Let's just take a quick look around. Yeah, not a lot. With the market this quiet right now, I think it might be wise just to stand aside and let them show their hand here. Similar to Dwayne, we have 42 listed in our panel today on the downside, and this is a level that, you know, normally we would expect a decent reaction off of, but they've been very, very quiet here, and so we're just going to wait and see rather than sit with a position on and stare at the market. So we'll let them show a little bit more volatility. And so, Dwayne, I think
anything
that's
on
everything
the euro at all?
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's take a quick look at the euro. We had something, didn't we, when we left, the euro had been, let me double check what we've got here. Yeah, the on-time month for a bottom in the euro is the month of June, and we tested that in July already. We've tested that. And I've mentioned before that 122.42 is important in this market, that they stay above that, especially on daily and weekly closes. So any positioning that you would want to do, if you're going to take a long position, you would want to use that as your protective area to know that they stay above that, you're in good shape. If they start trading below that actively and freely, I would do the right thing after having been wrong, because the right thing after being wrong will make you right in the end. If you hold on to that losing position, you would be in some trouble. If they break that level, the very next level down would be 120.72. It's substantially lower, so you might want to keep that in mind if you're going to trade off of this. And I would, you know, let's let them show their hand here a little bit. They've done really nothing wrong yet, but we do want to allow a little bit more time to pass here, perhaps, if you're not already in it. And if you are, you definitely want to honor the 122.42 level. So I think that's it, Dwayne.
Okie doke, David. Well, it's good to chat with you again after.
Yeah, nice to be back on.
Such a long time.
What did you
do
with your time off? You know, I've been doing a lot of talking.
We didn't do a lot. We went and watched the fireworks and just kind of took it easy. No trips out of town. No big extravagant anything. Just low profile.
Okay. Well, good. I had a really nice time off. I hope everyone did as well, and I'm anxious to get back into the markets here. I'm not anxious to make money. I'm anxious to find really high probability trading setups. That's how I end up making money. But I'm not anxious to make money. I'm just anxious to find the setup. And if we see something of importance later today that gives us, you know, something in the S&P, we'll, of course, take it. But any of these other markets that we have where these longer-term outlook, like with the gold and all that, I hope that's useful, and I'd like to see somebody take advantage of that. Maybe if you have any questions about it, you're always welcome to call us here at PageTrader. So, Dwayne, thank you very much for having me on. I look forward to being here with you tomorrow and the remainder of the week, and we'll try to put some trades together, all of us.
Okay, David, that sounds good. Thanks so much. Have a good afternoon, and we will talk to you in the morning.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. Thanks, everyone. See ya.
All I know is that I fell in love with you, and
Real quick, we're going to check in here, and I'm going to see if Jonathan is in here. Jonathan, I don't know if you're there or not. I can't tell for sure. Are you? Jonathan? All right, I opened your mic, so if you are there, come on in. Oh, you're there, but you don't have your mic. Okay, no problem. Not a problem at all. I didn't know how time was going to run, but hope you had a nice weekend. And we'll have you on for a little chat later on in the week, and you can give us an idea of what you're seeing and what you're looking at. Everyone enjoyed hearing from you last week. I'm reading notes here. Great weekend. Good trading morning. All right. Well, fantastic. Okie doke then. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for us. Oh, wait. Bruce has put in something here that I had not heard about. A Phoenix man who held weekly Bible studies at his home has had the book thrown at him over the religious gatherings. Michael Salmon has been sentenced to 2 months in jail and more than $12,000 in fines because the group sessions at his home were against the city's building code, according to Fox News. And let me see if I can pull up this link. You know, somehow I didn't hear about that. Let's have a look. Yep, against the city's building code. They're cracking down on religious activities and religious use. They're attacking what I, as a Christian, do in the privacy of my own home. Vicki Hill, Phoenix Chief Assistant City Prosecutor, said religious freedom had nothing to do with it and that it was a matter of public safety. Anytime you hold a gathering of people continuously, as he does, we have concerns about people being able to exit the facility properly in case there is a fire. It came down to zoning and proper permitting. The battle between Salmon and the city of Phoenix is a long-standing feud. Hill said that Salmon's neighbors complained of the gatherings back in 2007 because they were causing too much traffic congestion. Originally, about 15 people would attend the Bible studies, but that number began to grow, and that's when Phoenix officials sent Salmon a letter saying that his living room gatherings were in violation of city building codes. When he didn't stop hosting the groups, the fire department broke up a Good Friday gathering at his home in 2008, in which there were as many as 20 people in the backyard. You know, as many as 20 people. There's probably no one in this audience that hasn't had some kind of family gathering and or slash party at their own home where you haven't had in excess of 20 people. Probably even if you live in a condo. Salmon then decided to construct a 2,000 square foot building in his backyard and moved the gatherings there. He said that he applied for and was granted the appropriate permits for the building. Hill, however, said that the permits Salmon received were for converting his garage into a game room. Finally, in 2009, a dozen cops raided his home and charged him with 67 code violations. Since then, the courts have sided with the city, saying that Salmon was using the building as a church and therefore was subject to zoning laws. He built a structure that he said wasn't a church that is, in fact, a church. So, if I had people coming to my home on a regular basis for poker night or Monday night football, it would be permitted, he told Fox News Radio. But when someone says to us, we're not allowed to gather because of religious purposes, then you have discrimination. So, this guy is actually... Is he actually doing time? He has been sentenced to 2 months in jail and $12,000 in fines. This is one of those things where you gotta believe there's just more to the story than what you're reading. Because the media rarely gets it right. Not saying they don't try sometimes, but they just rarely get it completely right. This is very interesting. All right, well, thanks. I don't know how this has managed to escape my attention since I actually live in Phoenix, but thanks for bringing it to my attention, Bruce, and I'll continue to follow this and see how it plays out. But yeah, like Bruce said, we've all had, family gatherings. I guess his neighbor's complaint is that it's an ongoing thing. Now, in the neighborhood where I live, if 20 people came to my house and they all drove a different car, or, if they came two to a car, I mean, that would be 10 cars parked up and down my street, which would, that would create some congestion. And if it happened on a regular basis, could that potentially bring some complaints? I think so. They don't talk about the parking issue in the article, but I'm going to think, because the people probably, they weren't rowdy, they weren't leaving litter or beer cans in the front yard. So that certainly wasn't the grievance. The only grievance I can see that anyone would have, other than the obvious, anti-religious thing, freedom of religion, would be that it creates some kind of an issue in the neighborhood, and the only issue that could be, especially now that he has moved it into an enclosed area in his backyard, whether it was permitted to be turned into a game room or whatever he chooses to use it as. I think if he appeals this, I think he'll come out ahead. And I was just asked if I could post that link, and I can. And I will. Okay. All right, guys, there is the link. And the other question was, do I think the 42-43 area is going to hold today? Well, this area has done a really good job of holding so far. we go back to Friday, this area held. And then overnight it held. Off the London Open. And then this morning it was tested on the hourly for 1, 2, 3, 4 hours and did not give way. So it looks pretty solid for now. Overhead, we've got a number up at 52.53. So we'll be watching that. So could we trade up to 52.53 from here? Certainly a possibility. High of the day was right off the open, 49.50. The opening hour today. So look left, watch 49.50. And look to some smaller time frame to give you some kind of opportunity here. A pullback right now. Back down to, it looks like about 43.75, 44 could potentially be a fair entry, but then you want to be sure to look left. If you do get long down here, look left at that last swing high. And then prior to that, this swing high. So you got a swing high here, a swing high here. And you get this. So I'll leave the hourly chart running so you can keep an eye on that. And that's going to do it. Again, hope you all had a great holiday weekend, holiday week. And thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision.